And another thing is, I can't afford to pay Bay Company $90 to $100 an hour to work on my boat. So what do? I work on it myself in front of my shop. That's been in our family for several generations, before he even knew what Wrangle was. And so if I can't afford $90 to $100 an hour in labor, so how can I afford to spend, even if, another thing is, you can't buy industrial property. I've already asked Kim before. There's none available right now. So even if I wanted to, even if I had 100 grand sitting in the bank, I want to go buy some property. It's a moot point. There isn't any. And you know, you pay $40,000 for something, Woodbury or Todd or somebody will get whatever, $1,000 into a nice rock lot with a big shop. You can make lots of noise on it. And then you got people like Backy that don't like the noise over there. So what do you do? Okay. Oh, and also, I skipped this. In the very, very, very big beginning of this, I mean, not very beginning, that's over 25 years ago. This is talking like recently when he came uncorked. I went over
Scott, I'm going to ask you to keep the disparaging remarks down.
Okay, I'm sorry. Otherwise, making my blood pressure go up.
Otherwise,
sorry.
I'm going to ask you to sit
down. Okay, I'm sorry, Steve.
You
I
need
respect.
To be respectful.
Okay. Also, when this first happened, this go around, I went to his house like a man. I knocked on his door. I went into his house and I sat down with him. I'm like, I want to be a good neighbor. I mean, what can I do to alleviate the problem? And I will admit, I was making some noise at that time, but it wasn't going to be an ongoing thing. It's like life. Things are fluid. You know, you do this and then you move on from this, what you're doing, to something else, and it can be completely quiet. You know, you can be making cardboard templates or something. And I went to his house, talked to him in person, and he told me he's going all the way. He says, the only way you can make me happy is if you do something else in that shop and move away and go do whatever you want to somewhere else. And I just find that crazy. This is all my personal stuff. I sell nothing I have. This is just my shop for my enjoyment. I teach my kids how to work on stuff. I mean, I just feel like it's just, he's trying to manipulate code into just to be spiteful to me. And the whole town's going to pay for it. Like, the law enforcement has a lot better things to do than, you know what I mean, run around with a decibel meter. And another thing is, yes, I can say I have made noise in the past, but the cops, it's usually such a short-term amount of noise that by the time he calls the cops and they drive a half a mile to my house, I'm done. And then they'll walk up and I'm like, were you making noise? I'm like, yeah, like 10 minutes ago, like for 2 minutes. I mean, there's certain things, but then there's just, I don't know. And the noise is noise. I mean, barking, you know, dog noise, but he's trying to twist and manipulate this into industrial, into a zoning thing, which I don't think this really is, but he's just trying to get it in there. And all this doesn't make any difference. This just happens to do with the lay of the land. His house has the unfortunate lot size. It's only about 10 feet from the property line, which makes a difference. And I guess that is the minimum standard in Wrangell, so I can't really say that's illegal. But my house is several hundred feet from the property line that borders him. So if there was noise over there, it wouldn't be as bad over here. I know that's here, neither. But anyways, I just feel like it's just to hurt me personally, and there's a lot of other fallout that's going to happen just between me and him. And he's the only person in the whole town that's got a problem. I'm sorry for my rambling.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your time. Other comment? Yeah.
Can I say something?
Absolutely, Roland. Come on up.
Roland out 206 Graves. I live just basically around the corner from Scott. I've been reading this a little bit, and it kind of... I'm glad that the 7 and 8 are in there, because... Just listening to Scott and Hag talk, I mean, I work on my boat, my house, my truck, my utility trailers, and I use welders, grinders, skill saws, hammers. I have air tools. And luckily, my neighbors haven't killed me because I have a chainsaw mill on my property that I run for sometimes 8 hours a day straight, and I've never had a complaint. And I'm just around the corner, so. I just saw the tools and the vessels in there, and I just think that I got to agree that almost every garage, carport, shop in town has these tools and uses them on the property for more than boats and such. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Roland. Anybody else? Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
James Nelson, 1055 Zamovia Highway. I wasn't going to talk on this one, but I have driven by Scott Eastaw's house on multiple occasions, and I really do enjoy seeing him out there with a whole group load of kids. He has a bunch of kids. They're all working on ATVs. They're out there. They're not doing drugs. They're not out there drinking. They're out there working on his ATVs and four-wheelers and snowmobiles, and I think it's really good to see. And I would hate to limit that by putting in these stringent laws into effect. That's all I had.
Thanks. Thank you, Jim. Terry?
Terry Hanson, 1.5 Zamovia, Planning and Zoning Chairman. I'm not going to make this about anyone in particular, any place in particular.
Thank you.
But we did have quite a bit of community come in and put their input in at one of our meetings. And I think that when we went over this, these new rules and the ordinance, that this was really working with the rest of the community. And I think that with the changes, I don't see them in what you guys are going to vote on, but there was a couple of changes from our last meeting that I think should be in there. I think that people should have a certain amount of rights on their own properties. And I think that that the Planning and Zoning Commission has taken into consideration everything that we've heard from both sides, which has been substantial. And I think that what we have put forward is in the whole community's best interest. That's what I have to say.
Thanks,
but I would like to see those last two recommendations in this.
Thank you. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Rod, you good?
I'm good.
Go to the assembly. Julie.
It does seem that, you know, homeowners would have a certain amount of power tools and need for using them, whether it's their own personal boat or their house. So it seems proper for an exemption for those things. And I'm trying to, in my mind, think through a simple way to separate what might be a proper tool or use. I think of it more as a proper use of the tool. And I don't know if this makes sense to anyone else, but in a residential area, could it be that a commercial use of a tool is not allowed or improper for that zone, and that therefore not allowed, but if it's for private use, you know, these exemptions apply? And am I making sense? So in other words, because in my opinion, a personal use of a lot of these things will be somewhat limited, because how many hours a day are you going to do this? But if you're starting to sort of do it commercially, that's where the time is going to extend, and the amount of hours that you're bothering neighbors extends. I don't know if that is an easily enforceable thing or not, though.
I find it interesting that we have an ordinance that says you can't smoke pot in your backyard, but you can go and grind on aluminum, because the pot smell might offend your neighbor, but grinding aluminum, we sort of say, well, that's just a part of life in Wrangell. I just find it interesting. But if you've lived next to somebody, and I did at one point in Wrangell, where they like to grind trees in a mulcher at all hours, it can impact your quality of life to the point that, you know, we moved. And I appreciate that this is America and you should be able to do whatever you want in your own yard. But if what you're doing in your yard bleeds out to the next person's yard, they have rights too. It's their America as well. So I wish we weren't at this point. I really do. I wish we weren't having to legislate being decent and, you know, being respectful. But if you own property and your property is next to somebody who is, whether if it's if it's, I guess if it's, you know, I have a router and I've routed maybe 5 times in the last 5 years out in my front yard doing a project. But if I'm doing it every weekend, I'm sure somebody might come and say something to me. I built a deck, you know, those sort of things, normal wear and tear. But if it's an ongoing thing, each person has some rights, and I don't know what the balance is to make sure that we're respecting them whenever you have to legislate that decision.
That's the problem.
Yeah, Pat.
You know, there technically is a difference between sound and noise. Noise is just unpleasant sound, which is nothing other than a longitudinal wave traveling through a medium. And I object more to rap music than I do to a chainsaw. And I live right next to Svensson's. And I honestly, and the power plant, and when the generator, mm-hmm. all the generators are going on, it causes me to stop and, what is that noise? And so I just hate that we're getting to this point, because I honestly, I've never had an occasion where I've been subjected to a lot of noise, and my husband built everything, so and had chainsaws going and welding equipment, and so I'm not so sure I really like all these changes in here. I sort of. And with Scott, I don't think the duration of any neighbor is that much. And if it is, then I think maybe either ask the neighbor to quit for a while, or maybe we could put a duration in the ordinance. But this is a tough one. And I agree with Assembly Member Decker that if it is for commercial purposes, then that should take place in a proper zone location. But I would be hard pressed to stop anyone from working on their boat or building a deck. I just putting on a new roof or anything that causes, you know, some noise or discomfort.
Can I add one thing? I did want to mention, because it was asked, has anyone else complained about noise in the city? And there was a rooster issue a few years ago that was a pretty hot topic for a little while, I think until the rooster moved out. So there are, from time to time, noise issues. And I mean, from my personal viewpoint, dogs in the neighborhood have been left outside, either chained up or, you know, left for all day barking is problemsome. But this doesn't get to the heart of, I think, the biggest issue is number 7 and 8 in this. And I don't feel satisfied with the way number 8 reads right now.
Jim and... Ed?
It's just disheartening to see something like this between neighbors reach this proportion. You know, I really don't see the thing with power tools if they're run from 7 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. That's, and if they're inside his shop, or even if he's outside with a chainsaw, that's, you don't usually want to run a chainsaw in your shop anyhow.
Or at night.
Or at night. Yeah, that's kind of dumb. Vessels, there again, if it's inside the shop and you're working on it, I don't know. I mean, none of us like excess noise.
I think for me, a part of the, you know, the shipyard is designated commercial. That, to me, that's off the table. Svensson's, I'm pretty sure, is commercial.
Yeah, I think
Jenkins is commercial, and the fact that it's commercial and there's a house next to it, is that's the secondary thing. You can't turn around and say afterwards, well, you guys are making noise in your commercial property. The commercial has, they're the uplands. But I guess for me, if somebody is feeling like, if somebody is feeling like their rights are being infringed upon, and I guess the question is what's happening in your neighbor's yard? Is it your perception that it's much larger? Your neighbor obviously doesn't feel it's a big deal to be doing what they're doing. You obviously do feel like it's a big deal for them to be doing like they're doing. So where do we find, how do we legislate that? In some ways, you can't legislate decency to say, I'm making a lot of noise, I should give my neighbor a break. I don't know what the solution is, but I sure know that I feel that you have a right as a property owner to have a decent quality of life. Whether it's somebody burning their trash and the smoke blowing in your yard, it's my right to burn my leaves or whatever. I mean, you have a right to your area not being infringed upon by noise, smoke, whatever it might be. But I don't know what the language is. I don't know how to get that down for legislating.
Well,
Julie?
So number 8 to me, let me just interpret it how I see this. It provides an exemption for I'm not sure if I'm reading this right. Exemption for normal operation of vessel in a harbor. Okay. And maintenance of a vessel somewhere, like you said, commercially, industrial zone. So really the issue is, if it's a residential area, can someone maintain their vessel at their residence? And so things like power washing your boat, whatever other maintenance that would cause noise. Most residents don't have huge lots, they're not going to have huge vessels there, they can't get them back and forth and stuff. So we're talking about mostly sport vessels. Am I correct in my interpretation there?
I think you need to repeat.
Yes, you do. I'm sorry.
The key word is in a district zoned to allow this type of activity.
And that is what the Planning and Zoning Commission is specifically requesting be taken out.
Okay, good.
So I'm saying there's no exemption for vessels being maintained on residential property in number 8. Am I correct?
So the way it is currently written in the ordinance is that that's correct. There's no exemption for that. The way that the Planning and Zoning Commission would like it to be, where you strike within harbors or the maintenance on any vessel in a district zone to allow this type of activity, allows for it to be done in any zoning district between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Okay.
So I apologize. It's in the agenda statement what the changes the Planning and Zoning Commission requested.
Okay. So I'm looking, okay, so, and that's what's before us?
Yes.
So that's just going to read number 8, vessels, the provisions of this section shall not apply to the operation of any boat or vessel.
It'll read, the provision of this section shall not apply to the normal operation or maintenance of any boat or vessel between the hours of 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. weekdays and 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. weekends and holidays.
Okay. For that.
I like that. And then the next one on C, is that also suggested?
That's correct. What the Planning and Zoning Commission would like to see under the temporary excessive noise permit is, if the applicant demonstrates to the satisfaction of the zoning administrator that immediate compliance with the requirements of this article would be impractical or unreasonable, the administrator may issue a temporary use permit to allow exemption from any or all of the provisions contained in this article with appropriate conditions to minimize the public detriment caused by such exceptions. any such permit shall be for an initial term as specified by the zoning administrator. And administration had said not to exceed 15 days. Longer terms up to 90 days may be granted by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I believe the commission would like to see 30 days and 120 days.
No.
No, is that?
No, that's 15 and 90.
Oh, it is 15 and 90. Okay, my fault.
And the zoning administrator would be Carol.
Yes.
Can I make one quick little comment to
Kate? Come up front.
So on 8, one of the things that we had discussed that isn't on here was that instead of it just saying operation or maintenance of any boat or vessel, it was to be operation or maintenance of any personal boat or vessel, which is different than bringing in a commercial boat. That would still be done in a boat yard. It's a personal boat, like a pleasure craft.
One question for clarification.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that what the commission had intended?
Mm-hmm.
To have the word personal?
Yes. Any personal, so as to keep it to the smaller boats, not, you know, a fishing boat.
I don't think anybody is questioning the reasonableness of somebody doing a project on their boat, on their property. I don't think anybody is questioning that. I think the question is, at what point does a hobbyist kick in? That now I'm doing welding or I'm doing some metal work and I'm a hobbyist and I do it on my weekends or whatever. You know, working on your boat once, making whatever revision, but if it turns into that, is sort of you're doing it a lot of the time, and if it is impacting people around you, then I think you have to take that into consideration. I know if I was doing something and my neighbor came over and said, you know, can you knock that off? It's too much. I would obviously do that. Scott, I'm just hold you there. I let Terry come up because she's on the commission, but I can get you to hold there, okay? And if it turns into a situation where it's ongoing, that's where, you know, that's why this is, you know, your personal boat, not your commercial operation. This is, we're trying to narrow it down to what is a reasonable amount of time to be utilizing these tools. Yes, everybody has them, but what's a reasonable amount of time? I don't know if you can legislate it. You might not be able to. It may be an impossibility to do it, and
can I ask?
Yeah, Julie.
And so why is the word personal dropped from what's in number 8 in front of us?
That was my mistake entirely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious if there's a reason.
Nope.
Well, any further discussion?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this is kind of messy for me to follow and to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go through a cleaner copy.
Understood.
Because I'm flipping back and forth and trying to put it all together. And, you know, maybe if the duration is a factor, maybe we could cut the hours instead of 8 p.m., maybe 6 p.m. or, you know, maybe that would be a solution. But I would just hate to see that we're going to legislate activities of our citizens to such an extent that, you know, that's just not our community. And I do appreciate if you do have a neighbor that's banging on something day and night, that would get to me also, but.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm going to ask that we get this cleaned up, and I'm going to say that it sounds to me, by the people that are speaking, that we're not looking for more restrictive, but somewhat open. I that's what I'm sensing from you two. I haven't, you know, Ann, you spoke a bit. Jim, you haven't made a comment on it, so I'm going to fill it in for you. But we need to get something down here and get this done. You know, I hate to go against planning and zoning as well. I appreciate the work that they do. They took the public input that came along, so it's always tough to, you know, we've got to take care of those folks. We can't get anybody to get on there for us. So I really appreciate the work that they put forward. And I also appreciate both folks that came and spoke on this and the time that Mr. Demersian put in to write the letters that he did. But let's get it cleaned up and bring it back at the next meeting if possible.
So all three of them?
Is it your intent to postpone this one? Is it your intent to pass this and ask for
Patty?
Cleanup? It sounds like you would like to see a clean copy, so if that's the case, I guess my recommendation would be to postpone it.
My recommendation would actually be to direct staff to clean it up, but I would move it forward because you can always postpone it at the next
second reading.
All, are you talking about A, B, and C?
They're all okay.
So what's the comfort level with that? Julie, you look at your scout.
Didn't we already pass A?
No. Well, that's the first reading.
That's the first reading.
So I guess what we're saying is that we're going to move it forward, have them clean it up, bring it back to the second reading. We'll revisit it. If it's not acceptable at that point, it can be voted down.
You can vote it down and we can start.
Okay.
And we can, I'm sorry.
Oh, my only question is, then are you going to insert P&Z's suggestion for 8 and C?
Yes.
Okay, because I like that better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the personal.
Yes.
Right. If the assembly is would be more comfortable, we can put this item before the other two items.
Do that. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. To make BA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's appropriate. All right. I'm gonna call for any last comments.
I think just for the public's point of view, we're moving this forward so we can get a clean version and revisit it at our next meeting. And if there's more comments, please bring them forward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll make sure that everybody with a comment is heard. We're done with comments now. Thanks, Scott. Okay, so...
Mr. Mayor, if I could just clarify. So for everybody that is interested in this, this will be coming back at the March 12th meeting.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. March 12th meeting. We are now calling full vote, please. Okay.
Assembly members, Decker?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. 13C, approval of proposed ordinance number 958 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the minor offense fine schedule in Chapter 1.20, excuse me, general penalty of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 958 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 12, 2019.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. 13D, proposed ordinance number 959 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections in Chapter 5.08 sales tax of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 959 and move to second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 12th.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion. Patty?
This one I had a lot of questions on, and I've been driving everybody crazy. First thing, though, I do want to point out that we need to make it gender neutral. Do you know where those are? Borough clerk
on this one?
Yes. I'll read them off.
No, you don't have to. I'll find it.
Okay. And I had a terrible time understanding the rate of levy, because levy and tax rate are two different concepts, and if you increase the rate of levy, that is only done through a ratifying vote of the voters. And then I had heartbreak with raising the ceiling from $1,500 to $3,000, because that's a one point of sale transaction where your maximum tax obligation goes from, what would that be, $105 to $210. And I think that's too steep of a jump, so.
We actually discussed that during the budget. The assembly, as I understood it, agreed to that during the budget.
Yeah, I know. I don't even think I nodded during that, but I know that that's a good source of income. And then I think when they mention online, and maybe the borough manager can explain to the public why this is coming before us, but when we mention online transactions, I think that has to be defined. Is that telecommunications, or is that only internet, computer-driven? So there's some things that we need to probably explain to the public.
So I'd like to go back and address one of your earlier comments, Mr. Mayor, if I may. Assemblymember Gilbert was concerned about the need, if we change the sales cap, that actually would need to have voter approval. And I have confirmation from our new attorney. He cites case law, actually, the City of St. Mary's versus St. Mary Native Corporation. It's a 2000 Alaska Supreme Court case that details a voter-approved sales tax followed by the City Council's decision to repeal the $1,000 exemption for transactions exceeding $1,000. The Supreme Court sided with the City, concluding that a public vote is not required to ratify the repeal of that exemption. So the City, the Borough Assembly, has full authority to approve exemptions and levels of those things. So voter ratification is not necessary for us to change the tax cap level.
But you know what I find interesting? That we set a 7% sales tax rate, and it's high. It's the highest one I've ever been exposed to in my...
It's the highest in the state. Yeah,
right. But, and then we have exemptions, but then we can willy-nilly remove those exemptions, thereby raising the sales tax obligation of the citizens. To me, that just doesn't sound right.
Actually, the exemptions, though, reduce the sales tax obligation.
No, if we remove the exemptions, the ones that are exempted from sales tax.
What I meant is the exemptions lower the tax rate, though, from 7 down.
Yeah. But anyway, the only thing that requires a vote of the public is the tax rate.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. So I just find that interesting that we would be able to do that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mayor? So I guess in response to that, I'll liken a municipality's ability to do that with our request of the legislature on the senior citizens exemption. The senior citizens exemption is a mandatory exemption that we are required to give, and I think it's a good thing. But there are times when it is very difficult on the City and Borough of Wrangell to have all of those exemptions. We have lean years and we have stronger years in terms of revenue. And so having local control ability to be able to ebb and flow with what our needs are based on good times and bad times is very important, even though the state doesn't allow us to do that. With our local tax exemptions, that's exactly what the Assembly has the ability to do. If there are times when we have to have more revenue because of one thing or another, it gives the Assembly the control to do that. Now, that doesn't say that it isn't a significant impact to those people from whom the exemption is being removed. I agree with you, and it should not be taken lightly by any stretch of the imagination. But it still reserves the right for the Assembly to take action if it's necessary for revenue reasons.
Well, and to for your point, this raise, this $1,500 raise, is the largest raise on that ceiling that we've ever done, any assembly or council. So it's significant, and it's causing me heartburn. So I just want to be upfront with that.
We did it. This was a discussion item during our budget, and we passed the budget. moving forward
yeah.
with this ability to raise this up in order to generate revenue, in order to do the things that we wanted to do. And I agree, it is a lot. But if we don't do this, it's going to impact our reserve dramatically, because we were anticipating increased revenues, were we not? I mean, this was a part of our plan.
Well, and I think the fact that the governor put out his budget has scared all of us, and I understand that. But I do think the online section here needs a definition, and I don't exactly know what that would be.
My understanding is that other ones, what I heard from other mayors is that already, for example, was it you that was telling me about Sirius XM just today, right?
Oh,
so Sirius XM has been charging sales tax, but not remitting it to the various cities. So this is happening since the Supreme Court ruling that they have to collect city and municipalities' taxes.
Collect and remit.
What's that?
And remit.
Sorry. And remit.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess what I'm saying, though, is I think it will be telecommunications that if it's taking place. Am I wrong on that, Lisa?
So I cannot speak to the telecommunications thing. I can't speak.
Lisa, if I may,
yeah,
I just
please,
wanted to
please do.
Make sure that you're aware that I was online since the emergency director.
Yep. Mr. Lee, Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have
a comment to that?
If I may. So this issue is kind of a continuously evolving discussion, and kind of new information keeps kind of rolling in. I even got new information from last municipal league just today. But the Supreme Court decision that basically opened up sales tax collection to online retailers that sell to customers in jurisdictions where they don't have or haven't had a physical presence. That Supreme Court case, and I want to point this out because it kind of clarifies something in a sort of different way than what it was written in the agenda statement. The Supreme Court case basically decided that the meaning of the word nexus is no longer something that is tied to a physical location or the existence of an employee in a physical location. And nexus basically, as